is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel.
That old wheel.
Gonna roll around once more when it does.
And when it does.
It will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap.
Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And with that, we do say good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers this Saturday morning, February 6, 2016 now, and we are coming to you live from the Radio Ranch. Don't quite have the sunrise yet. It's still a few minutes out, but oh, what a beautiful morning. Just some of those, I don't know the name of the clouds. They're pretty clouds. Stratocumulus, I don't know what they are, but they're beautiful outside. Beautiful sunrise coming up, and well, here we are. Got our Bibles, got our coffee, and we say good morning to you, and good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
Are you just about dug out of the massive snowfall you had this last week?
Oh, yeah, I just about.
I know I traveled down there on Thursday, and you guys got tons more than we did. We got a good bit, but some of ours was blown away. But, boy, the Colorado in the Front Range just got hammered with snow. But that's a good thing.
Yeah, they did. We really got it hard, and it was, it came in, and it came in. It started snowing one night, and they called for quite a bit of snow that night. And next morning, there was a couple inches. It was no big deal. It was only about 2 inches. But then it started snowing later on that day, and it just snowed and snowed and snowed, and it was just one of those hard, steady snows that just, just kept coming down. And it didn't stop until there was 2.5 feet on the ground. So, kind of crazy.
Yeah. But the world didn't end. You didn't have to have the National Guard come out or anything like that. It just
I tried to get a hold of FEMA, but they wouldn't return my calls. So
yeah,
have to deal with it, I guess.
I guess so. And you did. You know, you cranked the tractor and moved the snow around and just go about the way it is. And that's just kind of how that works. And good morning. We have a guest this morning, Josh from way down south. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning, sir.
And you don't have any snow on the ground, do you?
No, that's not something that we have to deal with down here. But just like what Jason and I were talking about earlier, he was prepared, so it wasn't that big a deal. I mean, a little bit of, what's that old saying, Richard? You ought to know you've got more years than wisdom, but isn't it an ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cure?
Yes.
I've heard that, yes. Yes, absolutely. Well, you know, we're getting into the conversation. Why don't we open up with a quick word of prayer, and then we'll come right back to this if we can. Well, Heavenly Father, good morning to you too as well, Lord. And we thank you for the opportunity to gather here at the Radio Ranch microphone, Lord, and through the wonders of technology to be able to have fellowship with one another, Lord, with like-minded Christians here on the phone line, Lord, and also all over the world, all over the country and all over the world on these broadcasts that, Lord, you've allowed to be set up and to go out on shortwave and internet and audio satellite and smartphones. Lord, you found a way to let your word go throughout the world, and we thank you for that, Lord. Father, we thank you for our pastor that worked, Lord, so hard, that worked and built this foundation, Lord, this foundation based on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and then, Lord, through your help and your blessings, built this ministry up, Lord, to proclaim the true gospel to your people and to the world. Lord, help us to continue on that line, Lord, in awakening your people, in tending your sheep, in loving and serving you, Lord. Father, I pray you'd be with us today, guide our thoughts and our words, and let our discussion be an encouragement to others out there, Lord. Let it be an encouragement to those. Let it be that voice crying in the wilderness, crying truth and the true gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, let our conversation this morning be, let it be pleasant to you. Let it put a smile on your face. And Father, we pray that it would be a blessing to your people, Lord, as we continue on building on that foundation and continue to getting the gospel of Jesus Christ out to your people. We give you all the praise and glory for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. And Josh, absolutely, that ounce of prevention, what I've learned is, a 2-amp trickle charger is a lot easier on a tractor battery than trying to get it jump started at about 10 below. that's sure something I've learned. You know, a heat lamp and a little trickle charger, maybe overnight, that ounce of prevention or ounce of getting ready sure seems to work pretty good. Normally we have weather forecasts. Now, they're wrong about half the time. If you know the temperature's dropping and you know you're going to need that tractor the next day to either move snow or feed hay or whatever it is. That ounce of prevention, getting ready, I think that's what you said Jason was talking about earlier. When you're ready, it's not near as drastic or hectic or it doesn't have near the heavy bad impact than when you're not. Now, that certainly works in the physical, but, don't we see it in the spiritual as well? I think of our pastor when he used to say, the storms will come in your life. Whether you're a young person, whether you are a little older person, or whether you're an old person. At every stage, we all have our storms. Growing up down in Florida, 6 months out of the year was hurricane season. So you just had to keep an eye on the weather and on the forecast, and you just had to be ready for it. In the physical, we all get our storms. It rains on the just and the unjust, but we can be ready for them. We can be prepared. What do you think?
Well, and there's a comfort that comes from having made that provision, whether it be spiritually or physically. I would say especially spiritually, but knowing that you've done your best to have your ducks in a row. And can you always be ready for every possible
circumstance, no, you can't. And that's why we've got to depend on him. And we don't know the hour or the minute. But he requires a certain amount of effort out of us. You know, we've got to have that oil in our lamps and be ready whenever the time comes, whenever we're called. And a big part of that being called is to hear. You know, if I call to my son out there in the yard and he doesn't hear me, what good did my voice do? And he's got to be listening, he's got to hear me, and then he's got to act on that, whether it be responding or running to me, you know. And that's something that can be challenging in the hectic times that we live in, is being listening, being ready in season, out of season, and not only hearing whenever he speaks to us, but also taking action. You know, it's not enough to believe. We've got to have faith, and we've got to act on our beliefs. And that's something that's really been on our minds here lately, all of it, you know, with being Holy Spirit led and making preparations, whether it be for this evening or for 100 years from now. You know, we are to be ready.
Amen to that.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I had lunch with a elderly gentleman yesterday. I mean, he called me up and said, "You got time to go to lunch?" And I'm like, "No, not really." But I said, "I'll make time." You know, I can just do that. So I did, and met him. And that's one of the things that we talked about. We sat there, we talked about the things that were going on in this world and everything. And we talked about the timeline, where we're at, where, you know, what's the most important thing to be doing in this, you know, point in time. And, you know, I told him that the way I see it, it'd be really nice to be able to know exactly where we're at on this timeline, what to happen next. And then I told him, you know, I said, but if we did that, if we knew that, I said, that would actually give us that would make us like a god. You know, there's a reason that we're not to know the day nor the hour, and I don't even think we come close. I think we can see that day not drawing near, but that's it. That's all we got from Scripture. So that's, you know, that's what we know. It's one of those things where we'd like to know the day or the hour, you know, have it marked on the calendar and say, you know, here's D-Day or here's the day that we're going to need this or that, but you don't. You know, and we talked about how, you know, that pushes a person into a point where they've got to listen. They've got to be listening to, you know, when they're moved in the Spirit, when they feel like that they're supposed to do something, you know, walking and listening to that Holy Spirit, and, you know, how important that is to our survival. And, you know, he told me about things that, you know, that the Lord laid on his heart 15 years ago, and he said for the first 5 years, he said, I ignored it. He said that I spent the next 10 years doing it. You know, it's just interesting the way that it works sometimes in a person's life.
Amen. Amen. You know, he was called, and you know, many of us are. We all have a different calling. You know, we all have different people to talk to, and we all have different ways and different talents to bring to this kingdom service. And thankfully, God is patient that when he calls, and if we don't answer him right away, you know. Josh, like you said, you know, you call for your son, he's out in the field, and, you know, he's playing out in the field. You know, our boys will do that. You call them, and they're climbing on hay bales or, you know, up and down off the flatbed trailer or doing something, you know. And sometimes it takes them a couple times before they hear you and it registers, and then they respond. And it's certainly like that. It sounds like it's that way with your elderly gentleman you had lunch with yesterday. We certainly see that a lot. I think that happens in all of our lives. We don't always hear right away, but thank God we finally do hear. And then when we do, well, we have things to do. You know, we have deeds and works that we should be doing. You know, one of them is reading your Bible. We're going to encourage you, continue to encourage you, folks, to read your Bible. We have a Bible reading plan. I like the plan personally even a little better than last year's. It's read a chapter or two of the Old Testament and then some of the New Testament as well. When you do those type things, if you're doing that, and tomorrow's reading plan is Matthew 24, and part of that is be ready for His coming. Be ready. We try to be ready for wintertime. We try to have, you have your old tractors put up and you just try to be ready. You kind of have an idea of what's coming. Well, we're already talking about, we're getting ready for haying season. Jason and I have been talking about it and what we're going to do, what we can do, what we can't do, what we're expecting. And because we know, and that's what came to mind when you said that earlier about, we don't know the exact day, but we see the day drawing near. We don't know here at the ranch when we're going to get to cut hay. Is it going to be August 1st, August 5th, September 1st? But we're planning on being able to do that. And of course, that's just in the physical. But in the spiritual, we see that day drawing near. We see the signs of the times. We see the apostasy that's in almost every church out there. We see the prophets prophesying falsely, the people loving to have it that way. How many people do each and every one of us talk to, and you try to share a little nugget of truth with them? Whether it's the captivity we're in, whether it's who true Israel is or isn't, whether it's something out of the Word. And the majority of people, they don't want anything to do with the truth. They're happy getting that false prophecy every Sunday, that feel good. They like getting their ears tickled. We see the time. Here in Matthew 24, just a couple verses here under this, be ready for His coming. Verse 42 says, "Therefore be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. For this reason, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think He will." And, that is truth. That is truth. He's coming when you don't think He's coming. So you just have to be ready.
Well, as you said earlier, I thank the Lord for His mercy, because I can be pretty doggone good at messing up. But, we got to keep repenting and moving forward. But, in that preparation, on the physical side, if you've got what you need for those troublesome times, whatever it may be, a hurricane, a flood, whatever, if you're prepared, that also puts you in a situation where you may be able to help others, not just yourself, because you're not scrounging trying to do for yourself and your family. Well, in the spiritual, it's the same way. If you're standing on that rock, and if you're rock solid and firm, other people see that. And since you're living it, your word carries more weight, and you're able to speak to those people and have them, share with them and have them not only hear what you're saying, but receive it. And, we got to remember, it's not just about us. It's also about our people and our families and our country. And everybody's got a responsibility.
Yes. Jason, I've heard you mention that several times, that, in the past, it might be hard to get somebody's attention with some of these things that are going on, whether it's the homosexuals running free and trying to rule everything, or the horrible way the school system is, or the death by doctors, or whatever it is. But as more and more of it happens, the people that we've maybe mentioned or tried to warn in the past, it seems like some of them are coming around. Some of them are getting their eyes open, don't you think?
Yeah, I believe that there is, you know, some of them are, and then some of them are, you know, just it's just become an everyday occurrence. You know, it's like a big deal. You know, and it just depends on where a person's at. You know, and if somebody wants to know the truth, if somebody wants to know the truth, or if they want to believe a lie.
Yeah, that is so true.
You know, I've sat there and I've talked to people, and I've tried talking to people about, you know, this this Oregon situation, and trying to talk to them about Sandy Hook situation, and tried to talk to them about some of these different things that we've seen that have happened, some of these big events here in this country. And, you know, I've had several of them that just flat out tell me, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it because you're probably right, and I just don't want to believe it.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's where a lot of people are at. They just don't want to believe that the way things are. It boils back down to, you know, they've set their government up as their god. You know, it's become their little g god, and it's who they tithe to, it's who they worship, it's who they look to for their health and well-being, and it is it's a savior of types for them. And, you know, anything that contradicts that, anything that comes against it, they don't want to fight into. They don't want to believe it.
And those people can quickly become your enemy. So and that's another reason why it is important that we do pray on that armor, and we
yes.
pray for discernment, you know, to know who our friends are and who our enemies are. And that we, a lot of times I feel like my mouth is my worst enemy, and normally, the less I say, the better off I am. So I pray to be Holy Spirit led in my words of when to speak and when to be silent. And that's very, very important in these times to have His wisdom, not just working on what we know ourselves or what we think we know.
Good point. Very good point. Well, guys, we can open the phone lines up. Don't know if anybody's listening in this morning, but folks, if you want to call this Saturday morning, February 6th, got a little time here, 307-745-5913, and we'll do our best to get you on the radio if you have a comment or a question. You know, praise the Lord, though, there are those that God is still calling. There's those that are still listening. Got a call this last week from a man down in the Springs, a few hours south of the church, and wanted to know if his wife could come up. He could bring his wife up and get her baptized. And we said we would sure be glad to do that. So we've put those things in motion and have gotten ready, got prepared for that. And talking to him, it seems like that they're prepared for it. It's a shortwave listener, so we're pleased about that. And spoke with another man out in West Virginia this week about baptism and about just what it was, and said, you know, now he feels he understands repentance now, where he never has in the past. And we talked about that a little bit. And you know, there is our God, the yoke that Jesus Christ has is a light load, a light yoke. Not many people understand what a yoke is, you know, anymore. You know, a way to carry a load. And, you know, Jesus himself says, you know, my yoke is light. My way is, it's much easier than the world. Now, not by the world's standards, but it is. And if we would but turn to him, He is the God, a much better God than that small g government God that you were talking about, Jason. If the people would just see that, and when they want to know truth, the truth is out there. If they would but seek it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, the truth's out there. And there's a lot of people that, you know, I talked to last week, I met I was speaking with a gentleman, and he does puts in security systems and does a lot of stuff like that. And the guy's a Jehovah's Witness. You know, he's a Jehovah's Witness, and he's we talked scripture. And I'll tell you what, I was so impressed with the way that the guy knew scripture. He said he'd been a Jehovah's Witness for over 20 years, and he read his Bible every day. And he'd read, I think it was 8 different versions of the Bible, front to back, and, you know, knew his Bible. But it was one of the things that, you know, he knew his Bible, but, you know, he still, as far as he was concerned, Jews were God's chosen people. And, you know, when we started talking about theology and religion, and it was just, it was really screwed up. And I was never that familiar with the way that they believe and how different some of their thoughts and stuff were. But it was proved to me that, you can know your Bible like the back of your hand, and it's what an organized religion, a false organized religion, can do to it to pervert things, and how just having that, I would sit there and I'd ask him questions, and I'd say, doesn't the Bible say this? Yeah. He could quote the chapter and the verse and the verse before it and the verse after it, when we talk about something. And then we would talk about, why do you believe this? Then, but doesn't the scripture say this? Well, yeah. And it was interesting to see, how somebody can be, so brainwashed. And that's what we've got on a lot of people out there, just completely brainwashed. They can be brainwashed by false religion, they can be brainwashed by television, brainwashed by this, brainwashed by that. I mean, as a nation, we have went through just a complete dumbing down process. And I believe that that's why they've made all these advances as far as the television go also, and they've changed, they've had to speed up the hertz cycles. It used to be that everything ran at a 60 hertz cycle, and the way that works is it blinks same time that your mind blinks, and it basically takes everything that you're seeing on putting before your eyes and makes it more believable. And we went from 60 hertz televisions to 120 hertz televisions to 240 hertz televisions, and they've had to constantly speed them up, and it's all over. You've got to have that love for the truth. As to be saved, just as Scripture says, it's one of those things that you've got to be called and chosen and faithful. There's certain people that I think God just chooses, and it's when you have that calling and you're obedient to it, I think you can do great things. But it's easy to get mixed up and. And thinking something is right when it is wrong.
Yeah. Well, Jesus Christ himself said that he said, I am the truth, the way, and the life. And, in another place, he says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And it's only the truth that does that. His truth from his word. Well, guys, we've got a couple callers. Let's go to the phone lines this morning. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hello?
Yes, good morning.
Hey, good morning. This is Chuck from North Carolina.
Good morning, Chuck.
I wanted to find out, do you guys still offer that satellite dish I've been hearing in advertised on the show?
We do. Chuck, let me give you our office number if you want to give a call. We're live on the radio this morning, but we do. We have a satellite dish and receiver. But let me give you the office number if you want to give us a call either later or Monday. We'll be in the office, and we can give you the details on that. How about that?
Okay, yeah, I can definitely do that, okay.
Our office number, same area code, 307-742-7582.
I have it.
742-7582. It's also up on our website, scripturesforamerica.org, if you have that. But Great. How are you listening?
I can't go. I can't go on the. Well, that's what I also called about. I can't go on the internet right now, but I am listening on shortwave.
Great.
On what is it, 5830? And I listen when I can't get you on shortwave. I listen to you over the phone.
Well, fantastic.
Great. And I get your CDs, and I'm sharing the word with people I work with. I'm visually impaired, and I share, you know, the truth with everybody.
Well, praise the Lord for that.
Praise the Lord. I enjoy the broadcast a lot. They've helped me grow it, you know, a lot in my faith. And I just wanted to tell you guys, keep doing the good work, and I listen every day as much as I can.
All right. Well, thank you, Chuck. We sure appreciate the update on that.
All righty. Thank you.
All right. Be blessed, brother. Thank you. And another phone line ringing. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yeah, you were talking about the Jehovah's Witnesses. They sometimes come around here, and I take their pamphlets and reply. And one time I actually did look through one of the little pamphlets, and two things I noticed, it will tell you everything. They don't use B.C. before Christ. They use this B.C.E. designation, which means that they don't acknowledge Christ, you know. That's the Jewish thing, before common era or something, I think, which means they think we're common. And then I noticed that I looked in the front where, and it says the little book that was published in Brooklyn, New York. You know who lives in Brooklyn, New York.
So that tells you.
That tells you. Yeah.
I think
you need to know, so.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay.
307-745-5913.
Well, Jason, we had left off on the talking about the preparation, kind of on a rough note. And I know it's something that you and I have talked about before, but if we do live our lives to the best of our abilities, following Christ, being obedient, and seeking His will, I believe we can individually be blessed in a nation that is being cursed for their sin. What's your thoughts?
Oh, absolutely, I agree. You know, I mean, there's, you know, a couple things that, you know, as far as being prepared, I think that, you know, number one, I think it's important to listen. You know, pray and listen. You know. And, you know, you got to have that faith. You got to have that faith. It takes the faith to ask, and it takes faith to be obedient to it. You know, to when you feel the moving to do something, as far as preparations goes, to do it. You know, it's one of those things. You don't have to explain it to anybody. If you feel led to do it, then you do it. And, you know, I felt that way oftentimes in different areas on just making preparations, whether it be food or other supplies. It's, you know, you pray about something, the Lord moves you to do it, and you do it. And I've also noticed that, you know, just like you said, you know, when you're trying to do the right thing in a wicked land, and it seems like, you know, basically, the way I look at it is the wrath of God is upon this nation. You know, and you can see it right there in Deuteronomy. I think it paints a very good picture of it. You know, if you look at the blessings and the curses, and basically the way I look at it, we're in that cursed stage. But just because we're in that cursed stage, does that mean that God can't bless me? Not at all. I believe that a person, you know, doing the right thing, can be abundantly blessed, even why the wrath of God is upon a nation.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I believe that completely, wholeheartedly, you know, and have seen it and experienced it. You know, it's pretty evident. I mean, you know, and I believe that that will be, just like you said, Josh, I think it's one of those, you have to work and try with the best of your ability. You have to, you know, do everything that you do like you're doing it unto the Lord. You know, you put in the effort, you try, you know, yeah, you screw up along the way. We're human. We're, you know, fleshly. We have that fleshly side of us. You know, you repent, and it's grace and mercy, you know, come into play in a lot in that situation, you know, and you you know, pick yourself up and you move on. And I think, I believe, and I know that, you know, God can deliver you, you know, multiple times over, and can bring back to you multiple times over, you know, even why these things are going on. Does that make sense to you?
Exactly, because the word is still true, and it's still applicable in every situation. And whatever you sow, you're going to reap, regardless of where you are or who is around you. If you seek the better things, if you seek Him and His will and His blessings for you and your family, you will receive them. He is faithful. He is there. And you and I have talked about before of sometimes missing out on blessings because we don't feel like we're worthy of it to ask for.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, that's something that we got to get out of it in the mindset is, I mean, He wants to bless us.
Yes.
Just like we do. We want to do the best by our children. He wants to do the best by us. And whenever they're being obedient and whenever they're following the will of the Father, you know, it makes it, nothing can make a father any happier to be able to bless his children and do, open all the doors that he can for them and give them everything that he can. And there's such a parallel between us as children of the Lord, you know, children of Christ, and earthly fathers and children. And I've learned so much through my interactions with my children, things that are simple, you know, just inherently simple that we miss out on. And part of it is exactly why those Jehovah's Witnesses, they can know what the words on the page say in the Bible, but they don't know what the word says, is because they're missing that key to be able to unlock the Bible, which is the Holy Spirit. And there is no replacement for that.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Well, guys, we got another caller. Let's go back to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Morning, this is Mark.
Good morning, Mark.
Hey, you know, it's hard for a lot of people to see the state of Israel being, you know, false Israel, Israelite. But when I went there in 2009, I asked a question to Jesus. I said, Father God, I said, why are you bringing all these people here and gathering them in this place? And I really wanted to know the answer. He didn't answer me right away, but when I came back to the States, he showed me the scripture in Luke chapter 19. And the Bible I got, the one I have, it's just, I don't think it's coincidental, but it's funny, but in Luke chapter 19, it's got 48 verses, so like 1948. And I looked at the scripture, but I was just suggested everyone read Luke chapter 19. But the one verse that I'm going to center in on is 27. But it says, but those my enemies who were not willing that I should rule over them, bring here and kill them. And it says, before me. And then he says, and then when Jesus had said these things, he went forward to go to Jerusalem. And I believe that scripture is really saying that God is bringing all these people there, these people that are Khazars and Canaanites and Amalekites and Philistines. He's bringing them there because they hate Jesus, they hate the Word of God, they hate the Father, and I believe the time's coming when He's going to wipe them off the face of the earth.
It absolutely is. You know, that ties right in with, if you read Revelation, and again, that's why we're putting out to the people, read your Bible. It'll tell you. It'll tell you the signs of the times. And, you know, this quote here, you know, this is a red letter. This is the words of Jesus Christ. And I got to wonder how many Baptist churches, how many Lutheran churches, how many Catholic churches are out there teaching on this, going to be teaching on this verse tomorrow. You know, very few. But you read through Revelation, He is coming back to rule with a rod of iron, to slay those It ties in that at that time, every knee will bow, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that he is the Christ, that he is the Son of God. And when it says in Revelation, you know, when he returns to rule with a rod of iron, it's his way or not. It's as simple as that. It'll just be his way. There's just no doubt about it. Mark, for sure appreciate the comment. We're going to try this other caller here. Thanks a lot, brother.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure. Let's take this other phone call. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, Wranglers. This is Paul in Illinois.
Good morning, Paul.
Hey, I want to comment on the JWs, if I could, please.
Sure.
I was visited by a couple, in fact, last night as I was leaving work, and these two fellows come pretty regularly, and they gave me the new pamphlet they have, Attitude Makes a Difference. And there is some truth in some of their teaching, but we know that it's false doctrine overall. And I come in agreement with Jason when he talks about that these folks know the scripture. They do. And I do have to sharpen the sword when I go with these people back and forth. And it's done in a respectful, nice way. But I go back to the same thing with them, that Charles Taze Russell was a Jew. And he was also a Knights Templar. So obviously this is a man-made religion. And thus they believe that the Jews are the chosen people. But I go back to these gentlemen over and over, and they don't refute it. And I say, here's the Bible, show me where Jesus or Abraham or Isaac or Jacob was a Jew. And they can't do it. But I call these people that can recite scripture and kind of be lost in it, I call them parrots. They're they're very good at it. But they're just lost on the history part.
Yeah, you're right.
Yep.
So I find it quite interesting, and I also tell them, I said, be careful, because there are people pretending to be Christians, like I told them, Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons and the Catholics all have roots. And I just told them, be very careful in what you're doing. So, they will sit there, and I'll put on the phone, I'll put on the broadcast, and they'll actually listen to it with me. So, praise the Lord.
Yep. Praise the Lord.
That is good.
All right, gentlemen, keep up the good work.
Have a great weekend. Paul, I've enjoyed talking to them. I've had several of them that have stopped by the house before and everything, and I've actually really enjoyed talking to them, because it's good for you when you get into that, you kind of get into that sword fight, and you start bouncing scriptures back and forth, and then there's times where, sometimes you get stumped, you know an answer, but you don't know where to find it, and it gives you, the time to go back and study up and brush up on things and say, okay, yeah, and to be ready next time, next time that question comes around. And it's something that I've actually, before, on years gone by, I just didn't even want to talk to them. But I kind of look forward to talking to them when they stop by, and I kind of have fun with it.
Yeah, I feel the same way, and it does. It sharpens our sword, and it makes us get a little bit deeper, and it makes us think. So it's very good, and it happens for a reason. This is not a coincidence that it's going on. So praise God for that.
Amen.
Yeah, it was interesting. Years ago, we had them that kept popping by the house, and they'd stop by and they'd want to come in. They had all their pamphlets and everything like this, and they stopped by and talked to my wife, and she didn't know what they were. It was the first time somebody stopped by, and they talked about the Bible and this and that. And she didn't know that they were Jehovah's Witness, so I told her, I said, well, next time they come by, the lady told her, she said, well, we'll stop back by, and I'm going to bring you some booklets and this and that. I said, well, when she starts having you booklets, I said, you start handing her booklets and flyers. And so we got a pile of stuff next to the door. And you know, she's like, the lady comes over to the house, and they're talking about the Bible for, you know, an hour and a half, and she's like, well, and I brought you this, and Tessa's like, oh, good, well, thank you, and I brought you, and I got you this, and starts handing it to her, and starts handing stuff back to her, and oh, and that lady could not get out of that door fast enough. She couldn't accept anything. She just turned around, and it was the funniest thing, because she was up and out of there just, I mean, at the snap of a finger. It was so funny.
Yeah, that's good. You know, oh, I was going to mention, too, this is the first time last night when they stopped by. This is 6 p.m. when I'm about to walk out. They actually now, besides their Watchtower pamphlet that they actually had a laptop. And
really?
They let them go through on what a friend is. Yeah, it's getting very high tech, and it's very, very well done. And then they've got a little questionnaire on their pamphlet about what's your belief about Jehovah's Witnesses. There's 8 questions. So their propaganda, it's pretty convincing for the one who really doesn't understand the message and the history. Yeah. I'm meeting with a Judeo this morning. I'm going to give her a copy of the Abrahamic Covenant by E. Raymond Kep. And she knew something was wrong in the Judeo Church. She was on the prayer meeting Wednesday night, and this totally makes sense to her. So like you said, we need to hand out our pamphlets, our information, and we are.
Yep, yep. Yeah,
fantastic.
It's good. Yeah, and it's, you know, I mean, you know, I think that there's things that, you know, that we can learn from that. I mean, we can learn from, you know, I tell you what, I've got a lot of respect for them, the way that they go out and they evangelize, you know. A couple of them that I know, you know, they go out on a weekly basis, you know, once a week, and they go out and try to talk to people, you know, about their religion, you know. And I've often thought that, you know, just us as Christians, you know, if we did that on a weekly basis, if you went out and you know, try to talk to one person a week about the Lord, you know, how much difference that would make. And, you know, we've got our differences between them, but tell you the truth, it's like some of the stuff like that, you know, I do got respect for.
Yes, yes. You know what, and I've been talking about that to our people recently, that it seems that we're getting outworked and outprayed by them, the Muslims. And I definitely see that. So I asked these gentlemen that they were going to a Super Bowl party, and I asked them, we won't be watching it for the first time ever, I must admit. And I asked them if they would stop at 5:30 game time and drop to their knees and give the Lord's Prayer. That's what we're going to be doing. That's what we're asking people to do.
Wow, that's a good idea. I hadn't thought of that one. Yeah. Did you come up with that, or did somebody else come up with that?
That was actually my idea.
Wow.
Yep. Yep, it's time. It's just time.
That takes a sacrifice.
Absolutely it is. Absolutely. Because, you know, again, our people are just getting so hooked up, again, in these other gods. And it's okay to have some other enjoyments and recreation, but we're... We just fallen short. We've just fallen short as people in our prayer and our faith. And even these man-made false religions are putting more into their God than we're putting in ours. So, yeah, it's been tugging at my heart.
Well, that's, yeah, I believe that was something that the Lord put upon your heart and gave you to do. So, yeah. Huh. Well, thanks for sharing that with us.
Okay, brothers. You have a nice weekend. God bless.
Thank you, brother.
You too.
Well, as I said, we're falling short, but it's in part because we're not making the effort as others are. It's pretty pitiful on our part, honestly.
Yeah, yeah. Josh, can you speak up just a little bit?
Yes, sir. Is that better?
Oh, that's a lot better.
Well, I think part of that is that hearing, you know, like you said earlier, Josh, hearing
you know, listening, hearing the calling. You know, our brother Paul certainly is doing that. They're in you know, just outside of Chicago.
And you can drive around in circles, and you're driving and you're moving, but you're not getting anywhere.
Yep.
And you've got to have that destination, and that's what he gives us. Whenever we seek his will and whenever we listen, you know, he gives us the destination.
Yes.
And it all ties together as far as what Jason and I have discussed in the past, as far as obedience being complete. Complete obedience is attainable in increments. You know, if the Lord tells you to do something, and you do it, and you do it just the way he told you to do it, you are completely obedient in that task, and you're going to receive the blessings of it. But on the other side of the same coin, if you don't do it, you're not going to have those blessings, and normally there's a certain amount of curses that are associated with being disobedient, which is sin.
Absolutely. You know, we can have that little piece of the kingdom in our own lives by being obedient to him, following what he tells us in his word. In the midst of this.
And that's one of the, and just that, being obedient, you know, is such a huge, crucial step that, you know, it, and it's something that, you know, the Lord just, it's nonstop, you know, you're always getting tested on that, you know, and what you're going to be obedient to. So I don't know. It's exciting times, you know. And we talk about these things, and it's you know, it's interesting because one of the things when I was having lunch yesterday, we were talking about the things that we have at, you know, the things that work against us and the things that you know, work for us. And we talked about, you know, how, you know, our enemies have used these obelisks that they've set up in the land, and how they've set up these statues and the Georgia Guidestones, and you know, it just how it was just, it's kind of fascinating because it seems like our enemies have used all these different tools and tricks and trinkets and, you know, spell casting and television and dumbing down process and this and that and, you know, what has happened. And then we talked about that in light of, you know, what we have going for us, you know, and it's our faith, our obedience. It's, you know, how has sin in our lives has worked against us. And, you know, We talked about how sin is something that just, you know, the sin in our life and the sin in our land, you know, we've allowed sin into our lives and we've allowed sin into our land. And, you know, therefore, that's one of the things that has allowed our enemies to do what they have done to us in this land, you know, and allowed us to become enslaved. And, you know, it's quite an interesting concept because you look around and, you try to make a list on, okay, what, you know, what is it? What's the key? And you wonder, you know, and I think that that's one of the things that, you know, I've been praying on a regular basis is, you know, looking for an answer. It's like, what are we missing? What have we got to do to win this? You know, to get back to where we need to be, to get back to having, you know, a God-fearing country. A God-fearing land, you know, people that, you know, put Jesus Christ above anything else, you know, in the world. And, you know, is it the sin that's in our life? Is it the lack of faith that's in our life? Is it, you know, the lack of obedience that's in our life? You know, you just gotta wonder. And, you know, I wonder if our people are just not so dumbed down that, our enemies, as far as our enemies are concerned, I think that they're looking at it like they got a wrap. You know, it's a done deal. They've got everybody just right where they want them. You know, they've got them right where they want them as far as their mental state of mind, capacity, and religious views. And you know, it's kind of an interesting thought if you start analyzing it.
Yeah, I think it's that D, all of the above. You know, it's that sin, it's that lack of knowledge. The Bible tells us that. Guys, we got time, I think, for one more caller before we wrap up this morning. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, I think I got that Super Bowl figured out. It's old white guy on his way out, new young, strong, talented black man on his way in.
That's certainly symbolized tomorrow, isn't it?
Well, I hope you guys remember to pray that it doesn't work, you know.
Amen. Hey, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah, somebody asked me last week. Go ahead, Josh. What?
We always want to leave off on a good note. And as you were saying earlier before the broadcast, Richard, that you can see the curses, or not, you can see the spells being broken and people's eyes beginning to be open. And praise the Lord for it. And and part of that is people seeking the truth of knowing that something's wrong and being looking and being able to see through the curses that have been able to come upon us because of our sin. And we do. We know where the finish line is. We know where we're going. We just got to be faithful and diligent to do our part along the way so that we can have those blessings of the kingdom that are laid out there for us.
Amen. Very well put. You know, very well put. Revelation 18:4 says, "Come out of her, my people, so that you will not participate in her sins and receive of her plagues." So if you don't want to receive the plagues that Babylon's going to get, if you don't want to get punished for the sins that she's doing, because you read Revelation, there's a punishment coming. God tells you, he's calling, he says, come out of her. Come out of that system. So, well, guys, we're out of time this morning. I want to thank you all for joining us, Josh and Jason and the remnant out there. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate the phone calls. We want to invite you to come to church with us tomorrow. You can do that at scriptures4america.org, 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 a.m. Central, and noon on the East Coast. Click on the website, and you can see if you have a good internet connection, you can join us right there with the live video stream. The live audio stream is available there as well, and that'll be out on shortwave, on the website, on the internet, on the audio satellite, as well as to your smartphone if you want to watch or listen in there. And so we invite you there to come with us. Well, guys, again, thanks for joining us. And, folks, if you want to write to us, our address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535.
This country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stake high. Fast and free together, make them hell and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old stakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride. Disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride. Disapproving, keep on moving over snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move.